ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to the Government Affairs Update from ACEC, the American Council of Engineering Companies, coming to you for the week of week ending Friday, July 23rd. And it has been another eventful week in Washington when it comes to infrastructure. And where things stand right now is essentially the Senate attempted to vote to approve for cloture, which means beginning debate on the bipartisan agreement. That vote failed. It was expected to fail. Essentially, there was an expectation that, you know, the bill is not done yet and it still needs some time. The Republicans know that they need a little bit more time to, you know, get their framework into legislative language. And there's some backroom dealing and in getting this done, and the timelines are kind of in flux here. So to make sense of everything, we wanted to bring Matt Reifer, who's been watching this painstakingly and sitting through Senate roll calls, which take forever to actually get through. And Matt, welcome back on to the program, and sorry you had to suffer through that.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back, although I'm not sure I can adequately explain the machinations of the United States Senate, but I'll do my best.
I don't think anyone can. I personally think, you know, there are about a handful of people who actually understand how that chamber works. But there was a cloture vote. There was a cloture vote on Wednesday to, again, with the Senate procedure, you vote for cloture so you can begin debate on an issue. On this, it was infrastructure. My understanding was it was expected to fail to set up something next week. So, you know, how does that all come together?
So taking a step back, as we all know, you know, this bipartisan group of senators cut a deal with the administration several weeks ago to ultimately spend $579 billion in additional supplemental funding on infrastructure programs. It's sort of defined as classic sort of capital programs within the federal government, transportation, you know, writ large, water, wastewater, water storage, ports, airports, as well as broadband expansion. So that it was a two-page document, just a very high-level framework on, you know, here's the programs we're going to target at these funding levels, and here are the revenues or offsets from a budget standpoint that we can all agree to. And so the work over the last several weeks has been, we have to translate that two-page framework into legislative text, right? And that was the very heavy lifting that this bipartisan group of senators has undertaken. They are pulling from work product that has already been approved by a number of different committees. As we know, the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee put out a highway reauthorization. The Commerce Committee put out a freight, rail, and safety component of their reauthorization. The EPW has a water and wastewater, drinking water bill. So all of those pieces are sort of relatively easy to cobble together. What's been harder for the group to do is generate the other pieces that don't have existing legislative text, including transit programs, as well as broadband investment and a few others. And then the negotiations have always been very difficult on the revenue side, on the offsets. How are we going to pay for these additional investments? So that work has been ongoing. Nobody knows quite what the final package is going to look like. And so in a move to prompt action, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer scheduled a vote to, as you said, move forward to make the business of the Senate and start debating this infrastructure package. And the procedure was to move forward with debate on the House Invest in America Act as a shell. And then they would replace that with the text of the bipartisan infrastructure framework. As you indicated, obviously, without final text, a number of Republican, particularly, were nervous about voting and basically giving sort of a blank slate to move forward with without really knowing what we're going to be debating and voting on. So they voted on Wednesday on this procedural motion to cut off debate and make that the pending bill of the Senate. And that vote failed 50 to 50. You need 60 votes to limit debate and invoke cloture. They only got 50, and then it was a straight party line vote. All the Republicans opposed, again, because they're waiting to see text. And then the majority leader changed his vote and then moved to reconsider later, with the expectation that we will now revisit this issue as early as early next week, hopefully with text to consider and debate.
And he was nice enough at the end of the vote to explain why he changed his vote over to a no, so that he can reserve the right to reconsider and have that second vote for cloture once there's legislative text. And this is really an important point and of the process, because like you said, if you have legislation that you're building off of, then generally you have the template to work off of to build out the legislation. When you're going with a blank page and trying to figure out exactly how you're going to do the funding mechanisms, transit, all those things, you have to make sure that whatever you write plays well with either existing law or existing, regulations and law that's on the books, that you don't want to make sure you don't want to make an error that is going to cause an issue if you pass the bill and then you realize that you have programs or language that interferes with other programs. So this is a bit of a painstaking process to put.
And Senator Portman, who's been leading the Republican team of negotiators, Republican from Ohio, he was very clear going into the vote and then coming out of it that, the important thing is to get it right and to get the policy all lined up in a way that has bipartisan support and not to do it quickly. So there was some chafing that the leader scheduled this vote when they weren't quite ready to go. But I think both sides continue to proceed and negotiate in good faith. This by no means is any sort of, death knell or setback. And immediately after the vote, the bipartisan group of negotiators put out a statement saying as much. They're going to keep working. They're very, very close. They're very optimistic that they're going to be able to come to agreement on the few outstanding issues and continue to work with the administration to get it done.
Now, the big challenge here is reporting that Leader Schumer does intend or has his eyes on trying to get something done before the beginning of the August district work period, which there's very little time between now and then. Even if you stay in on Fridays, even if you stay in on weekends, quite honestly, if you're trying to get the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation done, you're also trying to get this bipartisan infrastructure bill done. And the Senate and the way that it operates, that is not a lot of time. I mean, what's the more rational timeline that you're hearing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're right. Beyond the complicating factors of the substance of the infrastructure bill itself, where there tends to be, I think, pretty broad agreement, except for a few issues. There's this other component out there, as you mentioned, the broader budget reconciliation package that Senate and House Democrats want to move forward with, in multi-trillions of dollars to flesh out other components of the president's jobs plan and families plan. And whether those two initiatives are linked or, delinked depends on who you ask and on which day. But certainly, yeah, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party does not want to move forward with this infrastructure deal without also having an assurance that there's got a commitment to moving forward with the other components of the jobs and economic plan that the administration is fleshed out and that Democrats want to move forward with. So whether there's the political will to do that, and as you said, whether there's the time to do that between now and going into the August recess, or whether some of those days will come back, remains to be seen. So there are a lot of moving parts on all of this as we proceed into the dog days of summer.
Yeah, and then layered upon all of this, of course, is the president, who again reiterated his intention and belief that there is a path forward, that this will happen, and he did say that he believes, I guess, kind of in his words, that there could be an epiphany in the Senate that this would actually happen, and he mentioned that during a town hall yesterday put on by CNN. So that,
yeah, obviously he's a creature of the Senate. He's got a lot of friends and relationships still there in that body. I think his nature is to try to cut bipartisan deals, and so they seem very firmly committed to that. The rub is, there's these rabble rousers over in the House of Representatives who are now saying, wait a minute, what about us? House T&I Committee Chairman DeFazio and his cohorts on the committee, have been pretty vocal this week, saying, now let's not leave behind all of the policies and reforms that we included in our bill, in the House bill. And they are very concerned that they will be jammed, that they will be asked to just accept whatever package it is that comes over from the Senate without an opportunity, again, to press for their priorities and their policies. So he's been vocally communicating with Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Hoyer and his colleagues in the House Democratic Caucus to make sure that his priorities don't go unnoticed. Whether that will win the day or not, I don't know. There's certainly going to be an extreme amount of pressure if the Senate does pass a bipartisan bill for the House to accept that without modifying it too much.
Well, that's going to make for a very interesting conference committee. And during the markup of the Invest Act, the chairman was very clear to say that he intends to have a real conference committee, not something which is informal or done in pre-conference, but an actual conference committee to work out the issues. So if there is conflict between the House and the Senate, expected to be hashed out there. Now we did put a request out for the chairman to come onto the program. So in the ether, if he's listening to this, or someone on the T&I staff is hearing this, come on over and make your case here on Engineering Influence, because we'd love to have you. You're a great supporter of infrastructure, and we want to make sure of it that the House is represented in this Senate activity without question. And it would also be a good bookend, because kind of segging into the next point, last week we had Representative Chrissy Houlihan on the program from Pennsylvania's 6th District. And, she's Small Business Committee, and she did mention the PPP program. The question was brought to her and on the FAR credits clause, and she did, say that it was an unintended consequence of the PPP legislation and the Pandemic Relief Act, the CARES Act, and also mentioned that it's important to shore up the make sure that the issues related to smaller loans are fixed so that it almost legitimizes the bigger loans. So she's knowledgeable of the issue, and she's brought it up to her chairman on small business. Where does the FAR credits clause issue sit today? Has there been any movement or activity in the advocacy department that you want to update people on?
Yeah, quite a bit of activity. Our focus and attention has obviously been on the Senate over these last few weeks. Now that the House has passed their bill with our sort of modified provision in it, and we've had a number of conversations with a number of Senate offices, Democrats and Republicans, in partnership with our member organizations in those states, who've just been really tremendous partners with us on this. Lining up, firm representatives to tell their story and say, this is how this is impacting me and my business and how this is playing out, you know, with the clients that we work for. And that has been resonating with these senators and their staffs. And so we are making good progress in lining up our champions. So as we go into this infrastructure debate, we'll have folks that are going to be making the case for the legislative fix that we need in the Senate.
And keep on, I mean, for those listening and are active in contacting, you know, their members of Congress on this, push, you know, really push them towards our website up on our acec.org/PPP because it is getting traction. I mean, we're close to about right around 6,000 views. And you know, we've had 200,000, you know, ads impressions that we've run in the DC area. We're getting our message out to the audience on the Hill and also on at DOT. But that second level grassroots support is something which we always need. So, you know, we really encourage our members to be active as much as possible on this, to educate their members of Congress, especially going into the district work period in the House, where you have members at home traveling their districts. It's a great opportunity to meet with them in person on home turf and explain why, you know, your firm, you know, why this matters to your firm as constituents. So, you know, definitely take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, it really is. It makes a big difference. Not a day goes by where Steve and I and others don't get contacted by lawmakers and their staffs saying, hey, I'm here from constituents. You know, what can we do to help? Can you help me understand this issue a little better? Or, you know, what's in play? How can I support? So it really is helping and it makes a big difference. And it's bolstering those who are already engaged to make sure that we get over the finish line.
Absolutely. So those are I know those two issues alone are dominating your time. Anything else happening in the advocacy world that we should be aware of, or is that really the two?
It's all infrastructure and it's all PPP all the time here, Jeff.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 operation without question. Well, Matt, I do appreciate you coming on this program again and giving us an update on where things stand with the Senate. We'll be watching closely next week to see what happens and news coming out over the weekend. Normally when things like this break, it's going to be probably, you know, Saturday night or Sunday and leading into the week. So we'll keep our eyes on it. And I appreciate your time.
Yeah, happy to be with you. And yeah, I'm sure we'll have much more to report next week.
Absolutely. Well, as it breaks, we'll keep you informed right here on Engineering Influence. So stay tuned. Again, this has been your Government Affairs Update for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. We'll see you next time.